Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you, it has been phenomenal. I'm out here at the beach, where I was out at the beach, and, you know, no oil. I know that the president is making a pit stop in Pensacola this morning, along with our governor, and they're looking things over. But you know what? Life is good, and it segues right into this new book that we're studying, Predictable Success. And you know, I tell you, it's fun when we do these shows in the morning because you never know what book we're going to be on. And Les had sent me this book to review. Actually, it came from Kevin Small, his advice, and it's called Predictable Success, Getting Your Organization on the Growth Track and Keeping It There. And, you know, yesterday we did a little bit of the overview, and today we're getting into the nuts and bolts, an overview, a 30,000-foot look at what predictable success is. And it doesn't matter if you're in network marketing. It doesn't matter if you own a franchise. It doesn't matter if you're just on the show saying, hey, can I make it? What can I do? Is there a business I can do? I believe that this book will give you some nuts and bolts. It's different than what we usually do. It's not a Dondi Scamanchi book where she's going to get into you personally and share some strategies on taking your career to the next level. It's not like my good friend Tom Hopp, who's going to dig into your brain and help you learn some stuff. This here is for you to look at your organization and really study it. And as we go through this book, I want you to understand something. We're going to cover 7 different levels of organizational growth. And Les starts the book off. Now, he has a writing style a lot like Dondi's. He loves to use stories. And he shares some stuff. He says, when I arrived at my first meeting with Mike, he showed me into his conference room. Here's what Mike said. There's too many distractions in my office, he explained. But as it turned out, the conference room provided little relief. His assistants skittered in and out, meetings, papers, stuff to sign, questions to ask, documents that needed approval. Les says, very quickly, I realized why this 125-person paint distribution business wasn't growing. I thought, wow, man, that reminds me of a few times when I was at ProStep. But then, get this one. Here's another one. That a couple of weeks later, I met Gloria, the VP of sales for the consumer division of a national finance company. The setting couldn't be even any more different than my meeting with Mike. After a clockwork, precise, guided tour of the 2 floors of quietly humming cubicles that were her domain, and a brief introduction to her boss, Gloria steered me into the tidiest commis offices I'd ever seen, with no interruptions and with every relevant document at hand and reproduced in glowing color, spiral-bound and dancing with charts and analysis. Gloria and I devolved into the exact same problem as Mike. Why her sales had plateaued after 17 straight months. It's kind of funny because what I didn't tell you, because I think this is humorous as we go through the book, is Mike was at a stage in the predictable success organizational cycle called Whitewater. Gloria now is in a stage called the treadmill, status quo per se. But the funny thing is, 3 days later, Les says, I stepped out of the blistering Midwest heat into the welcomed air-conditioned relief of a squat 4-story office block setting at the entrance in an industrial park. I was here to meet with Phil, after an absence of 6 months. Phil had first called me when his snack brand company had acquired an ailing potato chip manufacturer whose offices I was now at, and Phil had been sent out from HQ to manage the division with the goal of restoring it to profitability in 24 months. I'd worked with Phil and his team for a couple of years and was excited to be back. Now, this is the great thing right here. The stated reason that I was there was to facilitate Phil's biannual state of business meeting with his managers. While he was perfectly capable of chairing the meeting himself, Phil liked the freedom to participate without the responsibilities of chairmanship. Now, here's a guy that doesn't have an ego. He didn't have to be the main head honcho, even though it's his division. He also liked bringing in somebody from the outside to give an outside perspective who would not be afraid to ask dumb questions when necessary. I was pleased that he'd asked me to take this role. I prepared myself for a long day of presentations and had assumed that each manager would be reporting in or reporting out one by one. Maybe there would be some questions or a discussion or two, but mostly I was expecting a series of one-sided monologues that usually form the core of these gatherings. What I got instead was something very different. Sure, there were some presentations, but they were short and succinct, and they were followed up with incisive, focused discussions, usually two or three times longer than the presentation itself, and always building on the content of the presentation rather than reanalyzing the presentation. And I sit there and I'm reading through this as he goes on. And at the end, as we're sitting there and he's looking at stuff, basically what he says is, fills at that predictable success level. See, there's three examples that Les just gave in this book. One is that business that has broken through that visionary, that formation stage, that stage where everybody's hopping. You got the one stud that's running the show or the little studette that's doing her gig, and everybody jumps into her, and it's a one-man band type deal. You know what? That works sometimes when you're young. But then you've got to start moving into another level of success. But yet when he talked about Gloria's company, she'd gotten on that treadmill. They were in status quo. They had the systems and the formats and the processes down, but there was no buy-in. There was no livelihood. You get to Phil's side, and everybody's rocking and rolling. And what I didn't share with you was at the end of the day, they had a big family barbecue there at the company. See, this is the wild thing about listening to Les. But see, the kicker here, and this is where you got to get your pen and paper out. You've got to start realizing what predictable success is and what it isn't. Because somewhere in the seven stages that I'm going to share with you in just a second, if you haven't bought the book, you don't know what they are. But I'm going to share these with you. Predictable success is the one that's most important. But let's look at what predictable success is not. Predictable success is not about size. It doesn't matter if you're a small organization or a large organization. It doesn't matter if you're running a 23-person law firm or you're overseeing 300,000 people in a complete organization. Overall, it just doesn't matter. See, it's not about size. The other thing predictable success is not about is age. See, you can be an old company and not hit predictable success yet. See, that's the funny thing about this. Being in predictable success has nothing to do with chronological age of organizations. Les says a young organization can be in predictable success, and some very old organizations never get there. That's interesting. The third thing predictable success is not. It's not about money or other resources. Les writes this, as the meltdown of fall of 2008 proves all too clearly, resource-rich organizations cannot buy their way into predictable success. I found that. The other thing that it's not about culture. Les writes, predictable success is not about adopting any one organizational culture. Organizations in predictable success don't all adopt the same way of doing business. Man, I can remember a few years back, everybody said you had to do that Six Sigma deal that GE did if you wanted to be successful, but Les is saying that you don't have to do the same processes. Predictable success is not about how meetings are held. Man, I got one CEO, that's all he wants to do is hold meetings. I cringe every time I see my IM go off. But Les says, although you can tell a lot about an organization by watching how their meetings are conducted, this is an effect, not a cause. Meetings in predictable success organizations are run a certain way because they're in predictable success, not the other way around. And lastly, predictable success is not about the industry you're in. See, what you're going to read in this book will work no matter what niche, what industry, whether you're in business for yourself, you're working for somebody else. If you're a leader or you're a potential leader, then predictable success and help you grow your business. See, that's what I like. Listen to what he writes here. Predictable success is one of seven stages of growth through which every organization must progress. Let me say that again. Predictable success is one of the seven stages of growth that every organization must go through. Now, I'm gonna give you based on Les's diagram. It's a great diagram too. He writes like I do. Here are the seven stages. The first stage, the early struggles. That stage when you're first getting started. Maybe you're just getting the blueprint put out. You know, I'm doing some consulting work for a young lady right now that has a passion to launch a business with a double bottom line. Basically, that means she wants to be like Tom's Shoes. She wants to be a for-profit company that for every product that's sold, they're giving a product to some third world country or some impoverished demographic group here in the United States. And I found that admirable, and she's at those early stages. She's at that early struggle stage. The second stage is the fun stage. That's where the momentum's starting to kick in. People are excited. You got buy-in by all your people, and you're rocking. The third stage, which we talked about here, is whitewater stage. That's where you're hitting the rapids. That's where you really need to start expanding. You've got the one person doing way too much. Everybody's relying on the visionary. Everybody's relying on the founder. My good friend Brie K. Barreco learned this a few years ago and was able to bring in a good staff to run the company and take care of the day-to-day operations. It's called his sisters. And he's out there kicking butt. He's out there as the visionary. He makes the final say, but he's got people that are running that company. He's got people in Europe, a CEO that runs that division. And that's what you're looking for. The fourth stage, this is the stage we all want to get to in our organizations, is the predictable success stage. That's where things are rocking, things are rolling. You really want to stay there. That's the peak stage that you're looking for. Sadly, the fifth stage is the treadmill stage. You go past that predictable success table, and all of a sudden, you're in the status quo. Don't rock the cart. The processes are in place. Everything's fine. Thank goodness Microsoft don't work that way, or by golly, we wouldn't be able to talk about them all the time, about the mistakes they make. Sixth stage is the big rut stage. That's where you feel like you're dying. Feels like nothing's working. Nothing's changing. Matter of fact, if you're working for a company like this, you're probably bored as all get out and just hate going to work. Seventh stage, the death rattle. Where it's you're at the bottom. That's it. So what's the kicker here? Well, how do we stay in predictable success? Well, I don't know that yet. We haven't finished the book, but here's some things that I think are important. These are three very important steps that Les says you must remember at any organizational place you're at, whether it's your business, whether it's your just a division, whether it's an organization in direct selling, it doesn't matter. Listen to this. Number one, organizations cannot jump a stage. You can't go from early struggle to predictable success. You have to go through this. Here's what Les writes. For example, it is not possible to move into predictable success directly from fun bypassing whitewater. No more than it's possible to jump from childhood to adulthood while bypassing puberty. Thank goodness. Every organization trying to get to predictable success will move through each of early struggle. They will move through each of early struggle, fun, and whitewater at some point. However, by taking the right steps, it is possible to minimize the time spent in a specific stage. Now think about this for a minute. By taking the right steps, it's possible to minimize the time spent at specific stages. Now, I'm going to drive this home in a direct marketing standpoint. How many of us know companies that are 15, 20, 25 years old? How many of us know companies, I'll take Watkins Products as an example, over 100 years old, and they have never gotten out of probably the early struggle stage. They might have hit fun at one time or another. Great products, great comp plan, great marketing, but they just haven't hit that predictable success. There's no fun. There's no white. There's no pizzazz to this company at all. They've never hit it. And yet at the same time, remember back about 2001? When this functional juice beverage called Zango came onto the scene. There were some early struggles there for a little bit. They were having a hard time. Then all of a sudden, they started getting it together. They started having fun. All of a sudden, the young stud owners were flying all over the country. They were kicking it up. They had this debonair CEO with his hair and his beautiful wife, and they were out there in front of the stage. Things were rocking. Then all of a sudden, Zango hit Whitewater. All of a sudden, the company had outgrown itself. They were building 100,000 square feet building. They need legitimate business people that knew what the heck they were doing, compliance issues, sign-up issues. They needed liaisons with the field. They needed an in-house counsel. They needed all this stuff, marketing people. They hit Whitewater. Then all of a sudden, they were in the predictable success, and they were kicking it up all in 5 years. See, organizations can't jump a stage, but by taking the right steps, it is possible to minimize the time that you're there. Number two, organizations can move back as well as forward in the growth cycle. I know a company right now that actually have moved backwards out of predictable success. They're having some issues. I've seen a couple of companies on the verge of the death rattle that have moved back up into the predictable success cycle. And thirdly, this is the third important thing to learn here. Listen, it is possible for an organization to remain in predictable success indefinitely. And I'll tell you a company that I think in direct selling fits this mold perfectly. That's a company called Avon. You study that company, you realize they are in predictable success. It's phenomenal to watch. It's a kicker. Now, in this book, it's going to be fun to study each of these stages. And I can't go through each stage here. I mean, I would love to, you know, because Les goes through it all. But I just don't have time in 30 minutes, especially when I think there's some other things that are just important. But I want you to understand, if you buy the book, Predictable Success by Les McCune, you're going to find out that this book is going to help you in a phenomenal way. It's powerful. Now, there's five things that I want to, in the last 12 minutes of the show, that I want to cover. And it's the five benefits of achieving predictable success. Now, I want you to know something. Les uses stories like Don DeScamanchi. He writes a lot like John Maxwell because he puts so much information in one chapter. I mean, you'll be writing all day long if you're like me and you're writing in the margins. But I want you to get out that pen. If you didn't do it yet, you got to do it now. These are the five benefits. Number one, decision-making. The ability to readily make and consistently implement decisions is the first benefit of hitting predictable success. Les writes this, spend any time with an organization in predictable success, and the first thing you'll notice is the way in which they make decisions, particularly in comparison to organizations in Whitewater or Treadmill. There is neither a sense of setting atop barely managed chaos that companies in Whitewater, nor is there the plodding, courage, rote decisions making so often seen in Treadmill. Instead, listen to this, there is a sense of flow. Decisions are made without the decision-making process placing a burden on the organization. See, one of the things that I've always told people, we learn this in the Marine Corps, when there's time to make a decision, you don't sit around looking for a decision-maker. You take the bull by the horns, you make the executive decision, and you go with it. Well, you know what? That's what happens when you're in predictable success. Number two is goal setting. Predictable success allows you the ability to readily set and consistently achieve goals. Now, most of you know I hate that word goals. I think it's overused. But if you replace that with the word objectives, the ability to readily set and consistently achieve objectives, that's a military deal. We didn't have goals. We had objectives. So deal with it. This is our radio show. We can start talking like military people if we want to. But this is big. Listen to this. The second, this is what Les writes, the second characteristic of predictable success is one in which both Mike and Gloria have most obviously lost through different reasons. See, the ability to readily set and consistently achieve their goals is a must, and you get that with predictable success at every stage of the game. That's what makes this thing so powerful when you actually look at it. See, when you're setting the goals, you realize what that means to your organization. When you're accomplishing the goals, you know, one of the things I've got, I mean, guys, we talk to CEOs all the time. Some of them are phenomenal. They're going. Some of them are just fresh getting started. They're setting goals at different levels. They're trying to get all this stuff done. But it amazes me how many times somebody will set one and then they often forget it. I'll tell them, focus on 100-day cycles. Focus on 90-day cycles, whatever you guys want to do. 10 days into it, they've even forgotten what the cycle was. Or they'll have a contest running, and then they forget that they had the contest running when somebody wins it and they never send them out anything. So you can't do that. If you're in predictable success, it won't happen. See, that's what I love about this. Les writes this, listen. Managers in predictable success organizations can feel a direct linkage between the metaphoric right foot, the gas pedal, and the organizational acceleration. The goal-setting process is accomplished with relative ease. See, that's powerful right there. The third is alignment. Predictable success allows for structure, process, and people in harmony. Structure, process, and people in harmony. Now, I'm a Marine. We don't talk much about harmony, but I know what it means to be in alignment. Whether I'm marching on a parade deck or taking a squad through a hot zone, when you've got the structure down, when you've got the process down, when people are flowing because they're connected, see, we call that the law of connection. They call it harmony. It's all the same thing. Now listen, here's what Les writes, and I love this. In most organizations, there's considerable efficiency loss caused to the interactions between three main moving parts of the organization: the structure, its processes, and the people who work within both. Put more simply, a lot of time and energy is expanded by people because they have no, I don't even know. I'm trying to think how, because he wrote it one way, and I'm going to say it a way that I think would make sense. What happens here, and that's not saying that Les didn't make sense. I just want to put it in a layman's term because we just get normal folks in here, and Les, you can tell, he's educated. Okay, put more simply, a lot of time and energy is expanded by people because they have to totally manipulate the organization's processes and or structure in order to get things done. See, we should never have to manipulate anything. We should be able to just focus straightforward, know exactly what needs to be done, be in total synced up, be in law of connection, be in harmony, and know that the structure and the processes and the people are working seamlessly. When you see organizations explode in companies, whether it's direct selling or brick and mortar, and you see a franchise take off, whatever, it's because the people have the right alignment. They're in predictable success. Les writes this, and this is so sweet. In predictable success, the organization achieves balance between structure, processes, and people. There is just the right amount of process to ensure things get done in a consistent and efficient way, and just the right amount of structure to provide the railroad tracks for the organization to run on. People have the optimum degree of anonymity and freedom necessary to keep the organization vibrant and innovative, but enough controls and system to manage the risk, avoid unnecessary duplication, and to prevent the organization becoming exposed or vulnerable to a few superstars, big dogs. How many companies today do we know that's in whitewater in network marketing because the big dogs, the superstars, the ego-driven maniacs that call themselves leaders are more concerned about themselves and what they can do than they are about the organization as a whole, the company as a whole, about their downline that's just trying to get started. I'm telling you, Predictable Success is a kick-butt book, and even though Les didn't write it for the network marketing industry, there's not a CEO in this profession that should not have this book and should not be devouring it right now. It may be the greatest book outside of Coach, written by Art Williams, that I have read lately that is so dead on when it comes to what it takes to succeed at building an organization in direct sales, whether it's at the CEO's level, the corporate level, or in the field. I mean, this, don't get me started. Number four, accountability. Employees become self-accountable in addition to being externally accountable to others. This is a benefit. Guys, listen, this works so well. I've got this little company in Kentucky called Lightyear Wireless. I've had the opportunity to talk with employees of that company, employees that have been there since day one through the bankruptcies and everything else. Now they're in a publicly traded company. And you talk about being self-accountable. You talk about being focused on and being accountable to the team. You talk about buy-in. This company's financials are upside freaking down like crazy. But the heart of this company is in Predictable Success. It's going to be fun because I'm using this book as to analyze that company. Listen to this. This is what Les writes. The single most important characteristic of Predictable Success organization is the existence of a culture of self-accountability. In the Predictable Success organization, everyone from the senior management to the truck drivers, the receptionists, the janitors, has a strong sense of self-accountability towards their own and the team's responsibilities. That's powerful. Now let me bring it home. If the average everyday distributors would get off their cotton-picking, dull, negative, disillusioned, whiny butts when something happens in their company, and they look around and they see something going wrong, and they'd step up and say, "I'm gonna take charge here. I'm gonna see if I can provide a solution." If we would look around in this profession, and when we see people doing stuff unethically in our company, if we were willing to have the anatomy to stand up and say, "That's not right, and you can't do that. I'm taking accountability, because if you do this wrong, then it affects all of us," and you start looking out for the team, Katie, bar the door where your company might go, your organization might start to grow. Now, if you think I'm on a bandwagon, I am, because I'm sick and tired of seeing this stuff, and this book just comes just perfect. And right here, we're going to segue into the fifth benefit, ownership. Employees, team members, everybody take personal responsibility for their actions and their outcomes. Don't talk to me about how you're failing in your business. Don't talk to me about how your business is failing because the distributors aren't doing something. If you want your business to grow, I don't care where it's at or what it is. You can be in pharmaceutical sales, direct marketing, MLM, network marketing. You can just be trying to raise your doggone family. This book, Predictable Success by Les McCune, can help you get there. It's not the all answers. I mean, I wish I could tell you that. To get all the answers, I guess you got to hire Les as a consultant, because this boy kicks butt. But it's the only way that you're going to get off your butt. You got to start somewhere. So take action today. You can go to Radio for Your Mind. You know what? I don't even know what Les's website is on this thing. I think it's predictablesuccess.com. Predictablesuccess.com. Go there and buy the doggone book. But don't just sit back and do nothing. See, whether you want to do something or not, whether you want to benefit from Predictable Success or not, I can tell you one thing. Jim Gilhouse and I are going to benefit from this. And a year from now, when you're listening to this radio show and we're syndicated on all these satellite networks and you're wondering, how the heck did these two idiots do that from the South? I'll tell you how we did it. We read Predictable Success and we put it to action. We found people and got them around us like Tom Hopp and Don DeScamonci and Les McCune, and we said, okay, we're willing to learn from you guys. Let's go kick butt and do something. So what's your excuse? Don't have any more excuses. Get off your butt, go buy this book, and be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind as we go into this second chapter early struggles, grasping for cash, finding the market, overcoming the gravity to achieve takeoff. You don't want to miss it. Live life like it's an epic adventure, and I'll see you back here in the morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.